You're listening to DraftKings Network. You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
You didn't think, is there a video game? You didn't think that you were going to win game seven after Derek?
I promise you I did not. Mm. I honestly did not. In fact, no one did. There was a lot of like hope. But yeah, sure. Like it would be great. No one thought we were going to win.
What I dislike so much about game seven is that you guys didn't have that much hope.
Yeah, I wish it would have been closer.
Yeah.
It's kind of you. And also then, even if anybody did have hope,
Caleb Martin would make a jay.
The game was over. It ended 25 seconds in as soon as Tatum couldn't walk.
You're better than that. You remember Peyton Pritchard. We weren't talking about Peyton Pritchard.
You guys, for all of your bravado, your unearned bravado.
Unearned.
Don't actually know.
Earned. Yes, seventh, unearned. Seventh NBA Finals since 2006. Seventh. Unearned.
You don't understand what it actually is.
How many NBA Finals do you have since 2006? How many NBA Finals do you have since 2006?
No, let's do in your adult lifetime. Yeah. Isn't that what we're supposed to do?
In my adult lifetime, you've got three NBA
Finals?
That's
pretty good.
Yeah, that's...
That's pretty good.
That's half... It's less than half as many as the Miami Heat have. The Miami Heat were born in the 1980s, much like myself. They are the marquee franchise. I don't know why it's named the Bob Cousy Award.
Have you heard
it should be
me,
named it should be named
Mike,
the Ike
have,
Austin.
Listen to me. Have you heard me say the words out loud? The Boston Celtics are the marquee NBA franchise.
No,
you
but
you act
bravado.
Like I'm walking
you're
around
bravado.
Saying that all the
Let's
time.
Rename it the Mario Chalmers, the Bob Cousy.
Really be the Norris, know,
the Norris
Cole.
The Norris Cole.
You know what? I still don't understand. I still don't understand how it is that I'm the one who told you your team was good and you're acting like you're dunking on me.
Because you said it right there.
I don't understand this.
You said it right there. Your team. My team. Not your team. Your team lost.
Yeah.
Your
yes.
team bad. My team good. My team good. My team win. Your team lose.
What could your I have lose. Done? Prophylactically to prevent this from happening.
What's going
what
on
else
with
could I possibly
prophylactically?
Hell yeah.
Yes. What could I have done? How could I have protected myself against this any better
you know,
than I did?
You know what? My greatest
so true.
The my greatest regret about this series is that Tyler Hero wasn't the one sticking it in you.
Oh God.
well, you're the one that mentioned prophylactics. You're the one who did that.
Prophylactically speaking, Tyler Hero could have
grow
been out
up,
there.
All of you.
Grow up. No, grow up.
Yeah, grow up. A, grow up. And B, the Heat are
Ooh,
better without
me.
Tyler Hero. I don't want to sound like Stugatz here. The Heat are better without Tyler Hero, and you know it. If he were in that series, he would have been hunted defensively like he always is. And instead, they got to play guys who are legitimately better than he is.
Like Duncan Robinson.
Your thoughts and opinions.
And you know that should, yeah.
Your thoughts and opinions on the Heat and
tell
Florida
me,
Panthers
tell
having
me,
as many wins in the postseason at TD Garden as the Celtics and Bruins. Your just general thoughts there.
He left.
He didn't realize.
I didn't leave. I'm still here. Oh. I just don't
I'm curious if he actually gives the Heat a chance here.
No,
he
doesn't.
He's been right about the Heat all along.
Now he's got a. He's just like a Heat massive hater. No, we got no shot at stopping Jokic.
I give them a chance. I give them a chance. I think it's 60-40 Denver. I definitely give them a chance. But the mistake will be, you want a prediction? Here's the prediction. They play Tyler Hero, they lose. I'm serious. That Tyler Hero the key to the Heat winning the Celtics series was that Hero didn't play.
You believe that Ewing theory that Simmons has about Tyler? Because it allowed Caleb Martin to emerge.
Watch what happens if Jamal Murray can call switches onto Tyler
Hero. I don't want to.
Like, it is not going to go, it's no, we not can't, we go can't well
guard,
for you.
We can't guard point guards. My whole thing is just we've suffered so much. And I just think they're going to do it. I've got no reason. They haven't won in Denver since 2016. Suffered so much. What this core has suffered
about?
So much. It's their time. Once they lost. No. Denver's this core.
That's Denver's time
it's
the same
Denver's
way.
Time. It's not Denver's time. Okay. It's not Michael Malone's time. It's not Michael Malone's
Jeremy, time. Jeremy, you had something that you wanted to say to Mike Scherer?
Well, all I was going to say about Tyler Hero is they'll just do the same thing they did with Duncan Robinson, which is only play him when they play his own defense. So they'll just try to protect him the best that they can and, use him as a guy to space the floor. He's not going to be a crucial part of this series.
Ease him in.
Oh, no.
I'm not sure if the zone works as well when A, there's a coach who knows how to play against his own defense, which the Celtics did not have.
Fair.
And B, when you have Jokic in the middle of that offense and his passing ability, I think the problem for the Celtics the entire series was that they never adjusted. I don't know why. They had 7 games to figure out what every AAU team knows how to do, which is attack a zone defense, and they never did it.
Yeah.
But the Nuggets and Jokic, the greatest passing big man maybe in the history of the NBA, that zone doesn't work the same way.
Tell me you're bringing back Mazzulla. Just tell me you're bringing back Mazzulla. That dude.
Mazzulla's Brad's guy. I think he comes back.
That's it.
He's so surly, too, in the
interviews.
Dude,
the post-game press conferences, it's just a bad look. It's pretty embarrassing. I would just have no confidence in that guy.
No one does. Of course you don't. Wouldn't. Who does? Nobody has confidence
that's,
in that
That's
guy.
Honestly, I wasn't that worried headed into Game 7 because I was just Spo versus Mazzulla.
And that's why we had no hope. That's why you have to understand that I'm telling you the truth. Nobody was there was some lame narrative creeping out in the press that was maybe Mazzulla's figured something out. It's like, no, Mazzulla didn't figure something out. They just shot better from three. That was it. And every time Miami ran that zone, every single time, it would be the same. They ran isolations against a zone. It's the number one thing you can't do is Jaylen Brown running an ISO against that zone. I mean, it was insane. It was so maddening to watch it happen over and over again.
Yes.
The thing you cannot do against a collapsing zone.
Look,
it was so infuriating.
We're drawing it out of you. Let the hate flow. Let the hate flow through you, Mike. I finally got you disarmed.
We want the text string so bad. We want to know. Just give us a little. Give us a little flash.
What did Ellen Pompeo say?
Give us a little taste of what one of your celebrity friends had to say, and just tell me what you think right now of the Tatum Brown. I saw a poll yesterday, 25,000 votes from people asking who you'd rather have on your team, Jaylen Brown or Caleb Martin. 55%. Came in Caleb Martin, prisoner of the moment, instead of a second team all NBA guy. What the hell is happening?
The answer, I'm not going to read a single text that I got sent, so give up on that.
Please, just one.
Dream. The answer for the Celtics going forward, I don't think, is to give up. I think the answer is to have a coach or maybe an assistant coach or someone who redesigns the offense so that Jaylen Brown never has to do what he tried to do and failed to do over and over again, which is dribble penetrate. It's the number one weakness, not only in his game, but in the game of any top 50 player in the NBA, is Jaylen Brown's dribbling with his left. And the fact that no one on that coaching staff designed any play at any moment where he didn't have to do that was the major failure of the series.
But you can't tell me that most people in your group chat aren't trying to ship Jaylen Brown out. You can't.
No, and some people are.
Yeah, disgusting behavior to try to trade one of your top two stars constantly at every turn. But your lack of faith and commitment to your team And the front of the shirt is appalling.
Yeah. No, you speak with authority on this.
Tatum, where are you on Tatum? Mike Ryan, for 3 days, speaking on behalf of all Heat fans, anytime I mention that Tatum was hurt on the first play, he believes it's sacrilege and a discredit to everything the Heat accomplished in Game 7.
Yes, I'm sure that if Jimmy Butler had hurt his ankle in the opening minutes of Game 7 and the Heat had lost, he would be not blaming that the injury.
Last year in the Eastern Conference Final, we'll mention Strus's foot going out of bounds. We won't mention...
Oh, yes, Strus. No, because Strus and Tatum are the same.
No. But we won't mention is Peyton Pritchard taking Jimmy Butler out of Game 3, and you had one of the few memorable Bam Adebayo playoff performances there, and he was dealing with that the entire time, and you forgot about it in Game 6 because he conquered it. Jason Tatum was out there. There were plenty of injured players on the Miami Heat. Jason Tatum was out there, inexplicably not getting his ankle worked on, even though this was an injury that would have kept him out of the NBA Finals, blah, blah, blah. You know that that limp was correlated to the spread. You know that he's been doing this. He did that at the last Eastern Conference Final, too. Remember the shoulder? First basket he put up. Just in case, setting the table for his excuse. You cannot tell me Jason Tatum doesn't embellish stuff.
You also can't tell me that when you jump up... For a 6-footer on the baseline and land on someone's foot and twist your ankle that badly that it doesn't affect your play.
Oh, jumping on someone's foot? How about Peyton Pritchard taking out your knee Boston Crab style? We didn't talk about that. You know why? Because we're built on culture. We're tough. We don't make excuses over here. Yeah, occasionally a plane will get delayed 3 hours, and that deserves some attention. Some.
Oh, God.
But Jason Tatum was out there. Jimmy Butler's right ankle is the size of a bowling ball.
You're right about everything. You're right about everything.
Thank you.
You're right about everything.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right about everything.
Jeremy, why are you wincing?
Mike is making me somehow not want to root for the Heat. Like, this is a level of... I agree with you on everything. It's just the delivery.
You think I had a Peyton Pritchard in my back pocket? You don't think I remember that? No one remembers it because we didn't make excuses.
The reality is that Jimmy Butler's ankle has been hurt since Josh Hart purposefully took out his ankles in the previous series, and Bam's dealing with a shoulder, and all these guys are hurt at this point.
Oh,
does
God.
Jason Tatum affect, like, his rolling of an ankle absolutely affect that game? Yes. Was he still out there? Yes. So play basketball.
Robert Williams was throwing up.
Yeah, you got a tummy ache.
He was throwing up.
He was throwing down. Robert Williams was throwing down that game, and I had to hear about his tummy ache.
I need you to look into
bubble guts,
Mike.
There was one player that threw up in that game, and it was Jaylen Brown all over the front of his jersey.
I need you to look in a mirror right now and understand just how odious you have to be for Mike Schur, human being who is decent, to throw up his hands like he would with someone with an AR-15 and a MAGA hat. He would throw up his hands and be like, "You're right. You're right about everything. Just stop talking.
All right, I'm holding up a mirror.
Stop talking.
I'm holding up an actual mirror. Ooh, nice hat. I see a winner. I see someone that's gone to the NBA Finals in my adult life more than twice as much as you have. I see someone that wants a Bob Cousy Award renamed to Mario Chalmers.
You still talking to me?
Put it on the poll, please, Juju, at Lebatard Show. Should the Bob Cousy Award be renamed the Mario Chalmers Award?
It's going to be a long four-game Nugget sweep.
Mike, I am genuinely sorry, not because both of your teams, the Kings and all three of your teams, the Bruins, the Kings, and the Celtics lost, but also because I'm sorry that Mike is Mike.
Yeah, I think we're all sorry about that right now.
Heat fans are just beginning to get obnoxious. If they
don't let me get one.
Don't
let me get one.
If they beat that ogre monster,
don't let me get one.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
Elton John does not like performing Crocodile Rock, but to the point we were making, I think he still does because he just knows the crowd wants to hear it.
Right, well, he has to.
I feel like that's safe. He might be litigious, but that was such a poor imitation of the song.
Stugatz.
We can all agree, Piano Man.
This might get shine.
The crowd needs to sing Piano Man.
Yeah, but I want to hear Billy Joel sing
that's
Piano
most
Man.
Most of it. He just lets you at the end go.
Does he still have chest? She just wants Suey nominations. That's what she wants.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
She just wants a rack up Suey nominations.
Is that what she's going for?
I'm trying to avoid
fake
that.
Fake Crocodile Rock. Fake Billy Joel's Piano. Right, you got it. It's all right.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Attend the tale of Sweeney Todd. Mike, I saw Sweeney Todd last weekend.
So jelly. So jelly.
It was a very star-studded cast, and there was the star of the musical. Well, there were two stars, really. Annaleigh Ashford and Josh Groban. I didn't know who Josh Groban was till last weekend. I don't know how this guy slipped past my consciousness, but he's got a set of pipes, Dan. He is a good singer.
Yeah, classically trained Josh Groban is a good singer.
Does he have albums? Like, what is he?
Isn't that why he's famous, though? Isn't that why the name is known? Because
he's
known as having a great voice.
Yeah. I thought he was a country singer.
Your grandparents never watched PBS. Just flatly never watched PBS because Josh Groban was a staple of PBS.
Really?
Yeah. You raise me up.
You were moved by him?
Chris Cody is also now learning who Josh Groban is. He has an amazing voice. And Sweeney Todd.
Breaking news.
Again,
yeah.
Jessica.
Honestly, news to me. And Sweeney Todd is a really creepy, dark, scare. We've talked about it on the show before. Very creepy. He does some murders.
And
he was just phenomenal in it. And my only complaint really was that there wasn't enough blood.
You have been really enjoying some the arts, right? Because you are at weddings. You're filled with all this love. I don't know what you're doing over the last month or so, entertainment consumption, but you got a lot of music. You've got a lot of love. And you didn't even have time for Game 7 because you wanted to enjoy all of Succession. All you wanted to enjoy the finale more than you wanted to enjoy a live sporting event that our show won't shut up
about. That's correct. This has been a 6-week marathon. We had 3 weddings in 6 weeks, and guess what? Made it through the last one without one single Sweet Caroline, except for on the drive home. 5-hour drive home from upstate New York. The last 10 minutes of the drive, it came on the radio, and I wanted to scream.
Because you made it through. You made it through
I
the gauntlet.
I almost made it.
You wanted to scream the lyrics?
No.
Wow, that's a lot of things that are going to have to be bleeped out there.
You know who would never sing Sweet Caroline? Josh Groban, because he's too good for that song. Yeah. His voice is too good for Sweet Caroline.
Did he do the contest?
And to shave the face.
To shave the face.
To cut the hair.
Did you then go into a rabbit hole where
require a flair.
I did go into a rabbit hole. He has on his Spotify, like I couldn't figure out what this guy like does. And
he raises people up.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, he's got duets with like opera singers. He has like a few like Broadway songs that he's recorded. Like
here's the unknown. Well, it's kind of known.
From Phantom. What's the unknown?
Josh Groban is really funny. And he's actually worked with Mike Schur.
He's in The Office.
Yeah, he did a cameo in The Office. He's really funny.
See, I didn't know. I've seen every episode of The Office. I probably was like, some guy.
No, he's really funny in it. And there's no way to mention. I've partied with Josh Groban.
Nice. Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on a second.
You said there's no way to mention it?
There's no way to go about it. Like, I've partied with Josh Groban.
After your dinner with Dan Marino?
I partied with Josh Groban one night at Underground in Chicago. This was the same night that I peed next to Alex Turner from the Arctic Monkeys.
Would he remember you?
But not Josh Turner.
I'm gonna say he wouldn't remember, but we partied.
Yeah.
So he asked for his table to be moved because he was across from the Arctic Monkeys, and apparently, like, he had someone move them because,
ooh,
yeah, we don't do that. Like, that's Arctic just like a music Monkey? Thing. You don't have like two music acts like partying across from one another.
Why?
And I know the audience of those two definitely cross over a ton.
You know where it was? You know it was a Venn diagram? Me in the middle of it. Just like, oh, huh?
Share also saw a show on Broadway 2 weeks ago in lieu of a Heat game. But instead of seeing the star of said show, he found out on his way there that she was not performing that night.
This is the worst. We've been teasing this story on Mystery Crate for a couple of weeks now. But it's time to unveil. What?
Giving away the goods.
It's time to unveil.
That's a Mystery Crate exclusive.
I thought so too, but
you know
here
what?
We are.
No, 2 minutes. Get
two
out.
Minutes.
I'll save it. If you want Mystery Crate, you can enjoy Mystery Crate over there. We'll get to that.
Well, I have you in promo mode. I have a clip from Stupidity. In which he had Rachel, his daughter, national champion. They had their head coach for the lacrosse team. What do you think Sugats did with his time with the head coach of?
Asked for things?
Yep, you got
trying
it.
To get Rachel playing time?
Here we go. Here's courtesy of Stupidity, Sugats asking for stuff.
I went to every single game. Only a handful of parents can claim that. Even the dreadful Marquette game, Kelly, okay?
I know, you were so cold that one.
That was freezing. And so I just...
You thought it was like our indoor facility.
There's nothing like your indoor facility. It's the Ritz-Carlton of indoor facilities. But I did go to the Marquette game, and there was like five of us there, and I feel like those five parents, perhaps... This is what I'm asking. I'll be direct. Do you want my ring size? Should I send it to you?
Oh,
what do you think?
God.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Over laughter.
Absolutely. Send it over.
Okay. Oh, my God.
So you earned great. It. You all earned right. it, John.
Yeah, that's a reason to listen.
That is a nicotine-soaked laugh that he's got.
That laugh.
He sounds like Ursula from The Little Mermaid. That tongue is heavy.
Did you guys...
He's got like a 7-pound tongue.
Did you put it on the poll, please, Juju, at Levitard Show. Does Stugatz's tongue now weigh 7 pounds? Jessica, regarding Groban, are you not curious as I am whether or not Mike Ryan, when he was partying with Groban, was singing? Was there any singing involved? If the drinking gets going, is there the possibility that a guy with great pipes would let it fly?
It was a loud club. It was underground in Chicago, and this was quite a few years ago. So I couldn't necessarily pick up if he was also screaming, Big Meech Larry Hoover. Ooh. Whip and work. Hallelujah. One nation under God.
Getting back.
Finish the liquor. Anybody want to finish the liquor? Anybody?
Nope.
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 I did want to move over to some sports media news. There's been a couple of giant sports media items. McAfee reportedly getting $17 million a year from ESPN. So he leaves a 4-year, $120 million contract with FanDuel for a 5-year, reportedly. $85 million contract that goes into the range as I don't know whether anyone cares about ESPN salary structures, but he's now in Joe Buck range and above Stephen A. Smith. And in office money games, all of these people are making an enormous amount of money, but there are plenty of people at ESPN being laid off who are noticing this, and the headlines are, you know, employees not feeling great about what's happening with all of a sudden we've got to go out and rent a show, not create one. We've got all of these people, but we're not going to create a show. We're going to go rent one for $17 million a year, and he's going to become a superstar there, and he'll have huge reach, and he'll get all the guests, and I am imagining he's going to be an even more giant success. He's left a lot of millions on the table because the reach of this matters, and Disney knighting you will help Pat McAfee become someone who's a giant as Shannon Sharp decides right now, buy me out of my contract. I love what my brand has as value if I go solo because I know that my podcast is something that I can now sell because I don't need Skip Bayless anymore, and I'm assuming the reports are true. It was obvious to me on television. That wasn't going to last very much longer. You can't have that kind of real tension between partners daily on a television show and not break up. You're going to break up. And now Shannon Sharp leaves in a shrinking media market. He leaves one of the cush jobs to go sailing on his own.
Yeah, and if you look at his Twitter profile, he has some likes in his profile that would kind of allude to what happened there. He's not necessarily shying away from it anyways. These things take these buyouts usually take a while to come together. I am genuinely curious if the DeMar Hamlin stuff was the seeds of him actively pursuing a buyout.
I would guess. Again, this is just expertise in sports television. It is not an intimate knowledge of these two people. It's just how these relationships can fray. Bomani told me when I met him, we will never be friends. It's not the nature of sports television partnerships. Wilbon and Kornheiser, totally different group. These things do not last for 20 years, these relationships. Shannon Sharpe needed Bayless for what it is that he made, and he no longer needs Skip Bayless. And my guess is he's tired of being disrespected by Skip Bayless in whatever the ways are.
I think his star has eclipsed Skip Bayless, especially with like the Grizzlies run in. He's memeable, and I think that actually that social currency,
his podcast is
turns
popular.
Into
that's
very
gotta be that's gotta very. Be what's driving all of this, right?
Yeah, he can drive a show. He's improved. Credit to him too. He's improved tremendously. This is a guy that was let go at CBS from their studio shows. Think about how stuffy studio shows are. You drop Shannon Sharpe of today into a studio show, it becomes television.
That wasn't his fault. That was the stuffiness of the group.
I think in part, look, we tried Shannon Sharpe out on this show.
How about us? And there was only, before everyone.
Well, we saw getting rid of Shannon Sharpe before anyone.
When he asked
he's
for
improved
money.
A lot.
When he asked for money,
but
no.
It was limited. He's... Look,
he only saw that, one movie, and then we asked him about other movies.
This is me. I'm probably not doing this the right way. This is me giving Shannon Sharpe his flowers. Like, he's improved a lot.
He's always been great.
He's always been a great talker. But in terms of like the theatrics of television,
okay. If and that's fine. You can think that. But I want you to imagine doing a show with Shannon Sharpe's sensibilities in grandma's living room that was CBS television on the linen, on the couches that are covered in plastic as he's trying to interplay when they want Marino, they want stiffness. And
I think he had Inside the NFL too. It's just like it took a minute. It took a minute for him to settle into this lane. And right now he is in his peak form as a media personality.
I would
it's a good
say
time to go.
The constructs of the business make it hard for Shannon Sharpe, someone like Shannon Sharpe, historically, to climb.
Okay.
And he took a good job with a lot of space against a good villain who he now he outclasses and overshadows.
But he also grew within that show. Shannon Sharpe on the show today is a lot better than Shannon Sharpe when that show started.
But it's the daily reps of going against Skip Bayless, who now looks around and what? And what?
I have no idea what that show becomes. Sugats is definitely going to angle for it. Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Don Levitard.
Ron, I can't walk around my house naked because I fear that the cat would be traumatized.
Stugatz.
Like if your cat or dog suddenly saw you nude walking around your house, how would they react
probably,
to that? What would
probably
they think?
Wondering why I don't have spines at the end of my penis.
Yeah, like a cat.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
I can say this, I think, without being over-flattering. This guy's a pioneer in the way that he covers basketball. His information is thorough. You learn stuff from him through writing and through scouting analysis. Zach Lowe's got a very popular podcast, the Low Post Podcast, because people who really care about these games learn stuff and check in with him. He's in Denver at what looks to me to be... not the best. You're the best, I'm saying, and it looks like your accommodations are shoddy. It looks like Zach Lowe deserves better. His analysis, his information, his podcast deserve better than shitty hotel room.
Ooh, I wouldn't go that far. I would give it a B. It's a B. I want a coffee maker. I don't have a coffee maker, but I'll tell you what was good. The iron. You give me a good hotel iron that actually works, and I'm pretty happy. So I'm going to give it a B. It's fine. I don't need the bells and whistles. I need iron, Wi-Fi, coffee. That's it.
Let's get to the basketball analysis in a second. But before we do that, can you please explain to me historically, because I've told people, if this Heat team wins the championship, I think it's the greatest upset in the history of the sport. Like, numerically, when you look at regular season stats, this is not something that ever happens in this sport. Would it be, or am I being prisoner of the moment?
No, you're not being prisoner of the moment. It's like totally inexplicable based on every prior track record you could possibly imagine. And the crazy thing about it is It's not like, other than Giannis getting hurt and the Bucks lost the games that Giannis played, like, it's not like they avoided all the heavyweights in the Eastern Conference. Milwaukee round one, and yeah, Knicks, that was kind of an even matchup, and they grinded that one out. Boston, huge favorites. What did our analytics crew say? 97% chance. So it's not like they coasted through these weak teams that pulled off upsets. They had a negative, and there was no, and you guys know this, there was no sign this was coming. Like, they came to New York a few times toward the end of the regular season, and all they wanted, all they were praying for is, can we just find a way to get to sixth? The Nets have traded away Durant and Kyrie. They're slumping. Can we just get to sixth and get out of the play-in tournament? And they couldn't even do that. And they almost lost twice in the play-in tournament. Like, there was no sign that this was coming. I didn't get a sense that internally, other than probably the most maniacal competitors on the team, like Jimmy and Bam, that there was like a great deal of internal faith that, yeah, if we get in, like, you never know, we're going to go on a run. Like, it's completely stunning. And yet you look at all these series and it's like, yeah, they deserve to win. Like, they're, it's not, none of these are like flukes. They just outplayed these teams.
Zach, I just had on, we just talked to Mike Scherr, and the things that he was lamenting as a Celtics fan are like, how do we not adjust to zone? Anybody can do that. And how is the adjustment, hey, Jaylen, dribble with your left hand into the zone, when that's the dumbest thing that you can do? The last most egregious failed coaching job that you have seen, as bad as what you just saw in the Celtics, is Zach Lowe, historian blank.
Oh boy, I'd have to think back. I mean, look, I think that the Joe stuff was a little overblown. Like, they did try stuff against the zone, and Tatum did get hurt in the first play of the game. But yeah, I did. I actually thought it was worse during the Sixers series, the coaching, than it was during the Miami series. I thought that Sixers series should have been a shorter series for them, and there was some obvious stuff. I'm just looking at the standings right now to jog my memory of like times that I thought like, oh, what is this? What is this coach doing? You know, the one that I think of sometimes, this goes back a long way in Heat history, actually. And I love Scotty Brooks. And I think Scotty Brooks is a good coach who deserves another shot. I just remember every game of that finals between the Heat and the Thunder in 2012, when Perk, and God love him, I love Perk, he's my colleague, when Perk's name was still in the starting five and the Heat were playing Bosch at center, every time that sheet would come out, here's Oklahoma City starters for tonight, people within the Heat would be like, again? Like, we're getting this again to start the game? Like, I can't believe what's going on here. And I think there were internal issues, like Perk was a big culture setter for them. He held the young guys accountable. But that was one that I always remember being like, I kind of can't believe this is still happening. And it like may have cost them the series.
I had another example. Avery Johnson never stopped doubling Shaq when it was clear that he needed to stop doubling Shaq because Dwayne Wade was crushing him. But I don't have many, is my point, Zach. Watching this sport where I can clearly look at the coach and say, you are not equipped for some of what you're seeing here. This is just these are laughably bad decisions you're making.
I thought, honestly, the bigger story of the Celtics coaching stuff was less like the zone and Jaylen Brown dribbling and all that. Like, I thought there was some late game stuff against the Sixers, particularly in that game four, that was really bad. But to me, it was the whole season, just the determination to go away with the double big lineup that almost won them the title last year, and Robert Williams' minutes being up and down, and his injury played into that. The Grant Williams just disappearance from the rotation. I joked on my podcast many times, like, is he the guy at your company that's going into the company fridge and stealing other people's food and like taking three bites out of the sandwich and putting it back? Like, there has to be some explanation for how this guy just stops playing. And of course, then he starts playing again. I think that kind of shook the Celtics internally a little bit. Like, what's going on here with this rotation? Because look, they should be in the finals. Like, they just should be. They should have beaten the Heat. They're better than the Heat. And those first three games are just all time. Like, what happened here?
Make sure to check out Zach's 10 Things column, and the NBA Finals, of course, are on ABC. Zach, historically, Jokic gives everybody problems, but he gives Bam a lot of problems. Aaron Gordon has bothered Jimmy Butler as a defender, and the Heat have struggled to guard point guards, and Jamal Murray has found his form. Why am I entering this as a Heat fan still oddly confident?
Because you're wearing the Heat culture shirt. Like, why would I expect anything less than you? Hashtag Heat culture. I actually brought one of my... I have a couple of those Vice shirts here that I bought just because I like them. You just can't doubt this team. Like, they keep they just keep scrounging. They're like scroungers. And just like you look at the talent and they're down by 10 in the second quarter and they just keep playing. I think the best virtue of this team is they just keep playing. They just keep doing their stuff. They just keep defending with like ferocity and intention and purpose. And sometimes that's enough. And you look up and it's like 102-101 with 20 seconds left. Like, how did this happen? And you know that I have more faith in them in that situation than almost anybody in the league. Your optimism, I don't think, is like misplaced. I think they're big underdogs in this series. I picked the Nuggets in six. And that's going to seem like disrespectful to Heat fans. The Nuggets have not played a series longer than six the entire postseason, and only one of them went to six. And I come back to the first thing you said, Mike, which is like, I just don't know what the Jokic answer is for these guys. I don't know, like, if Denver just decides to dump the ball into the post to him 40 times in a game or 20 times in a game. Like, I just don't know what Miami's answer.
Well, you're throwing Love at him as a starter. You're throwing Zeller. You're throwing Udonis Haslem at him for some minutes. It's chaos. The nation. Zach, you saying Nuggets in six, and saying that the Heat counters with the really pathetic, super shitty rallying cry of, they just keep playing. That what you're throwing at Jokic, who historically, Zach, never been anyone like him, correct? There's never been, never. What you're throwing at Jokic is, we just keep playing.
Ferocity.
That's what you threw at Jason Tatum. That's what you threw at Giannis. And like, you also threw Jimmy Butler. Like, you also have a guy who, can he be Jokic's equal in four games in this series? Five games, three games, whatever it is. Can he be that flat-out best guy in two or three of them? I mean, that's also the hope. And, you know, we'll see if Tyler Hero can ever come back and provide a spark. But, I mean, do you think that's underselling the Heat?
No. What I'm saying is the argument's shitty.
No, it's intangibles with this team. The zombie Heat thing.
But, Dan, look at all the teams that fell off in the East. Like, Boston gets in a close game and they stop playing. Milwaukee gets in a close. They don't even get in a close game. They're up 15 in the fourth quarter, and they just collectively forget how to play basketball. And you can see them get nervous and wobble. Philly loses game six at home to Boston. And instead of thinking, you know what, let's pick ourselves off the mat like the Heat did in the next round and go fight for our season in game seven, they get blown out, blown off the floor. And the vibes you get from them afterwards are like, yeah, you know, game six, that was really the series for us and we lost it. The Heat, just none of that happens to the Heat. They just don't care about the pressure. They're impervious to it. They keep doing their stuff. And as you see, one would-be contender, like it's Philly's time, it's Milwaukee's time, it's Boston's time. One after another, they get to where they're on the precipice of it. And they, I mean, I don't want to say choke, but they just kind of wobble and don't execute
say
their
it.
Stuff. I think
say
there,
it. There's, say choke.
There's power in that. There's
say
power
choke.
In just sad Bill Simmons. I'm just looking at sad Bill Simmons.
Say,
ask him
say,
the power of team
no, but
that
say,
just keeps playing.
It's not. Come on. What's the distance between wobble and choke? What's the distance?
I don't know. My general politeness and good nature.
We had a little bit of a show debate going on, changing gears for a minute, because we've talked a lot of Heat today. Monty Williams was hired to the Pistons, and they're paying him a lot of money. And I said, the Pistons have a really good group of young players, to which the rest of the room said, no, they have good young players, not really good young players. So I was wondering where you land on that.
6 years, $78.5 million for Monty Williams. That one stunned
it's
me.
It's going to nuke salary structures
that
for coaches.
That stunned me,
everywhere.
Zach. If that's what Monty Williams is worth, what is Eric Spoelstra worth?
Eric Spoelstra is worth – he's in the pop stage where it's just like whatever the – like, we'll never disclose it. It's just whatever he wants, whatever he's comfortable with, whatever role he wants to have for the next 20 or 30 years. He gets whatever he wants, and he's the best coach in the NBA right now.
Okay, but good or really good?
Yeah, really good or
their
good?
Their core.
Detroit?
Yeah, the young players.
The young
are
players
they really
Detroit.
Good?
Young
or are they good?
I think good.
Yeah, I told you, Jess.
Damn.
I think
thanks
good.
For coming on, Zach. It was really great to talk to you. We appreciate you. Zach,
well, you and I have never met, Jess. You're just going to dismiss me like that over a Zoom?
No, you didn't agree with me.
Yeah. He's a senior writer for ESPN, host of the Low Post podcast. The finals preview column is out today on ESPN.com ahead of game one of the NBA Finals on ABC. And I'm sorry.
Jaden Ivey is really good.
Yes.
He's going to be really good. The last 6 weeks of the season, he made a leap. I think part of it is we got to see what Cade looks like coming off that shin thing. I like Durant
really
a lot.
Gonna
they have,
be
they
really
have like nine centers, and we'll see who they draft. Obviously, the lottery didn't work out for them, I'm sorry to say. I think it's I think it's good. But if you stack them up with Oklahoma City or, you know, Houston would be an interesting one. Obviously, now the Spurs are going to have a guy who's more valuable than like seven young guys combined. I think good is where we have to be right now. I'm sorry, Jess. You seem like a very nice person, but I'm sorry.
Thank you.
She seems hurt, though. Thank you, Zach, for being on with us. Appreciate your time. I'm trying to dodge that bill. You can't dodge it. We're too good for you. We've perfected it. I'm trying to dodge that bill, he says, as Bill Simmons' sad face follows
him. Don't let us get one.
Dodge that bill. Dodge that bill.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.